Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hey, I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
And you have tuned in to Cowboy Church.
We're so glad to have you with us. We're in Susie's living room. This is the fire back here going, and everything's warming up just right. You know, I love the atmosphere in the living room.
Yes.
It's my favorite room in the
sure.
house.
Yep.
And, well,
Except for the kitchen.
Maybe the kitchen. It's pretty close there. But I was thinking, and this is kind of an abstract thing, but I was thinking some of our favorite guests that we've had on the program, and I was looking over, and this is, the fire's warming up, and mm-hmm. usually what do you drink with a warm fire?
Oh, I love to get up in the morning and light the fire and snuggle up to it and have my first cup of coffee.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
If it's really hot outside and you have to get out on the porch and you just want to overlook that pretty valley
yes,
that you have
yes.
out there with your cattle,
mm-hmm.
what do you like to take
yeah.
with you there?
Well, you know, it depends on my mood for the day, but boy, in the morning, you're talking about
it's
in the morning?
It's always a coffee, right?
A cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
yes.
Well, I was thinking about your valley with your cattle in
mm-hmm.
there, and you have these little, Oklahoma, they're ponds. In Texas,
ponds.
We call them tanks.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
And I was thinking of the Sons of the Pioneers,
mm-hmm.
that one, the song that they sang, the Cool Water,
mm-hmm.
and when they present mm-hmm. that Cool Water song, I always have these visions of what that cool water is going to taste like, because
right.
the Bible talks about around heaven there being that water there, and I've heard of people who have seen and been there
yeah.
and come back,
right?
And every time they do, they say there's people enjoying that water and stuff, and I think of the times I'm really thirsty,
yeah,
and that cool water, and it makes me curious for heaven.
Right.
So just one of the reasons we're here is to inspire curiosity about heaven. What about heaven that makes you curious?
Well, the whole thing is curious to me. I know that many of my loved ones are in heaven. I recently lost my mom, and I don't even say mom, it's my mama, and mm-hmm. She was begging to go. She says, oh, can't I die? I just want to go. I want to go. And then we witnessed her talking to Daddy, who had died in years previously. And she said, where have you been? And it was like, take me with you. You know, take me to where you are.
Yeah.
And my grandma's there. My other grandma that I never got to see, I know is there. And it just is a place where we can bask in God's glory,
yeah.
you know, even more without the distractions of life. But you were talking about our valley down here, and we've got this pond, and those cows will go up belly, go in belly deep to get to the cool water.
On a hot day, yeah.
So you better go in pretty deep into God's Word, into His presence, into the life that He has for us, to really experience that coolest, most refreshing experience with Him.
I think
to go deep.
I think you're on target. I think you ought to tell the people that
mm-hmm.
we're gonna go deep today. It's gonna be cool.
You better get your waders on today, because we are going deep. We're gonna go where the water's coolest and where the frogs hang out, and I guess. And we're gonna get into God's Word, a little bit of singing, a whole lot of Word, and we're so thankful that you have joined us today. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Thank you, Pastor. Well, I think there's been some new life brought into this church this morning. And if that's you, then you have new breath. You have new being. You have new purpose. and I want to sing this song for you. There's a new wind blowing like I've never known. I'm breathing deeper than I've ever done. And it sure feels good to finally feel the way I do. And I want to love somebody like you. I'm letting go of all the lonely yesterdays. I've forgiven myself for the mistakes I've made. Now there's just one thing, the only thing I want to do. It's what Jesus said when he came to earth. I want to love somebody like you. Yeah, I want to feel the sunshine shining down on me and you. And when you put your arms around me, let me know there's nothing in this world I can't do. I used to run in circles going nowhere fast. I take one step forward, end up two steps back. I couldn't walk a straight line, even if I wanted to. Sound like anybody here? I want to love somebody like you. Oh, here we go. Y'all put your hands together with me. Turn to the person next to you and say, that sounds a lot like you. Oh yeah, y'all brightened up the room with your smile. You can keep the smiles on and tell them something every once in a while. It'd be okay with us. Yeah, I want to feel the sunshine shining down on me and you. And when you put your arms around me, you let me know there's nothing in this world I can't do. Sometimes it's hard for me to understand, but you're teaching me to be a better who I am. Don't want to take this life for granted like I used to do. No, no. I want to love somebody like you. I want to love somebody like you. I want to love somebody like you. Many of our songs, especially our Christian songs, were written out of torment, a lot of heartache. God saw them through. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. I am tired, I am weak, and I am worn. And through the storm, the night, lead me over to your light and take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me home. When my way grows dread, precious Lord, linger me. When my life, oh my life, is almost gone, and hear my call, hold my hand, let's stop on and take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me on. When the shadows appear, draws near, and my faith, oh, the faith I have, it is gone. At the river I stand, guide my feet, hold my hand, precious Lord, take my hand and lead me home. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me home, help me stay. Oh, I get tired, I get weak, and I get worn. And through the storms, through the night, lead me over to your light. Take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me. Through the storms, through the night, lead me over to your light. Take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me
One of the things that happens in life is you make evaluations. How many of you have ever made evaluations this morning? Like, it's snowing, should we come to church or not? Some of you made the evaluation that, yeah, we can make it. And some of you that are watching says, nah, we probably ought to stay right here. And you know, wise decisions. If you want to stay at the house and make sure that everything's safe on a time like this, and that's a good decision. And so we look at things, we make these evaluations, and one of the things that I've noticed that when we make evaluations and we ask God to help us look at things, what he does is he seems like he peels a little deal back, and we see stuff we didn't really want to see. Have you ever had that happen in your own life? Yes. Thought I was doing really good. I think the last year we had, I think God did that for our nation, peeled it back a little bit and helped us see that we may be in crisis. We may be in trouble, and there may be a lot of corruption going on, and we don't really like to see all of that, because I'm telling you, I love United States of America, and I thank God that he has allowed me to be raised and live in this wonderful place. But I think this year there's been a little reveal that we've seen, and now as a church, we need to look at what we're going to do. And I think the wrong thing to do is cry at a political party. We're not a political entity. We are the church. And what's important is for the church to do what the church does. And the church does a lot of things. The church is not void of being involved in politics. I think it's healthy for people in the church to be involved in that. But I think sometimes if we make politics a mission of the church, we've missed it. We've absolutely missed it as a church in so many areas this year. So what I want to do is I want to get back to the core. I want to get back to the fundamentals. I wanted to rehearse what it is that makes an individual a Christian, and what we do with that Christianity, and then how we connect together as a church, and what we do as a church to make a difference in the world that we live in. So that's what we're looking at right now, and I'm going to use, I will guarantee one thing on this message. This is not a theological concept. that any other kind of church preaches. That doesn't mean we're heretics at all, but this concept is a concept that I've taken from the horse world and incorporated, and I believe that it's good for the church world to look at this and to filter some things through this concept. And when we do, I believe that we're going to be better off as a church. So let's go look at what the Word of God has to say about collection. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says this: all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, God, I pray for a rich anointing of your Holy Spirit on the words that are about to be spoken today. God, I pray that you would guide us and take us to where we need to go. And God, I pray that you would challenge our hearts for us to be the people that you need for us to be and for us to be the church, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So a couple of things about collection. Just so that you know what collection is about. First of all, collection is about submission and obedience. There's only three areas of collection on a horse. It's in his face, and it's in his shoulders, and it's in his rear end. A few years ago, I was talking, my whole life has been around horses, you know, so I understand what collection is on a working horse, like roping and reining and the working cow horse. I understand what collection is. It has to do with them getting their rear end underneath themselves, and that's the power drive for everything that goes on. And then the direction and the motion, everything is in their shoulders, and their head and face have to be kind of a detached part of the whole program. They just bring balance to everything that goes on. But when we started doing racetrack chaplaincy, I started talking with some of the guys. Talked to a jockey, and I'm going to name drop for a little bit, a guy named Pat Day. I don't know if you remember him, but in horse racing, he used to be like the Pat Day of jockeys at one time. And born again Christians, just great testimony. And in his testimony, he said this. He said, when I first got on the horse, I realized I knew how to make him run. So I asked him one time, I said, so what do you think your secret is to knowing how to make horses run and respond? He goes, I know how to get a horse collected. I thought, well, I didn't know racehorses had to be collected. I knew that you had to collect to stop and turn around and all of that sort of thing. He says, no, they have to be collected, because here's the thing about a collected horse. When he's collected, and you'll love this, when he's collected, I can maximize his stride. And what that means is when a horse is reaching out, when he reaches, this is how horses' legs go in the front. Reach out. If he's collected, when he reaches out, his foot hits the dirt when it's at its farthest point out forward. If he's not collected, if he's climbing, he goes up here and then his foot hits the ground here, halfway back through his stride. He loses a foot every stride. And over a course of a mile race, you're like four or five lengths, horse lengths back, because he takes more maneuvers to make go the same distance. The other thing, I talked to another guy, had several world champion quarter horses, and he said, what I do to get a horse collected is I trot him. And now I'm just going to just throw the, you got to have these concepts in here. I trot him, and he says, the reason I trot a horse is because it's easier for me to get him into a collection stage. And what it does, when he trots, he begins to reach out. And if he begins to reach out, he's more collected when he's running. And in a quarter of a mile, if I can make 6 inches up in every stride, I have two horse length leads in it, two equal horses. So you want to maximize their ability to run. The reason for collection, get this, the reason for collection is to maximize the horse's ability to do what he does naturally.
were people. So the first thing that happens in collection in people is submission and obedience. And Jesus put it like this. He says, render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, custom to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. God puts people in our lives so that we have to learn to be collected around them. How many of you paid taxes last year? Well, see, they collected the taxes, and what you had to do, you had to submit to the tax collection. That's the way it works. And if you don't do it, what happens? They have a chance to come and get everything, don't they? They decide the collection deal will be a little more. But the reason for these collections is, and you say, oh yeah, I can see where you're going. You're going to be talking about money here pretty quick. And I will mention it because it's not the full reason why collections work, but it gives us an example of the necessity for being collected. So here's the first thing, submission and obedience. We need to be obedient to God. And what God will do is he will put people in our lives that when we learn how to honor them, that's called humility. It's humility. So our submission and obedience before God, they're fundamentals. But I'm going to tell you, fundamentals are misnamed. They're not fun. They're fundamentals because they're necessities to be able to do what is really important. So the first thing is obedience. The next thing collection's about is about money, but our money is just an evaluation tool, guys. When we look at money, what we have to understand is that under submission and under obedience, that God owns it all. God owns it all. It's all His. And we're not owners, we're stewards. My brother put it like this. He said, hey, 90% of something is better than all of nothing. Yeah. And so when we're dealing with God, when we go into partners with God, we are actually stewards. God owns everything. We're a steward. His split is this. You get not 50%, you get 90%. He does 10%, because he owns everything. So that, and when we understand that, what we've actually done is we have reined ourselves in or allowed God to rein us in. We have a different perspective, and my life is not my own. I now have somebody sitting in a saddle, which I don't take naturally. I now allow somebody to put a bridle in my face and pull on it and put me to where I need to be because of this one reason. I need to submit. I need to be obedient in order for God to put us in a place that He created us to be in. See, if you noticed, he was talking about we have to have the hips moving this way, and you don't even have to understand collection to know that their hips need to move certain ways, their shoulders have to move certain ways, their head have to move certain ways. And the reason for all of that is because we're about to be in a reining pattern or a cutting pattern or a working cow horse or a calf roping or a race, that it's going to be very important that we know how to respond to somebody who has the ability to put us in a position where our talents actually work for what they were intended to be used for.
We love hearing from you. Thank you for your letters and thank you for your support. God bless you, and we'll see you next week on Cowboy Church.